Come to order. Will members please vote to signify their presence?
The roll shows 18 members present. Senators Hoffman and Stedman are excused from a call of the Senate.
Yeah, please stand for the invocation by Chaplain Sister Marie Lusick of the Cathedral of Nativity.
Creator God, I thank you for the gift of a new day, a day of possibility. I thank you for the many blessings you have given to our legislators and their families. Continue to bless everyone here, that each person may be a blessing to others. Keep them strong, that they may help the weak. Keep them uplifted, that they may not get discouraged by negativity or harsh words. I thank you, God, for those who work behind the scenes, the clerks, the secretaries, and all others, to ensure that the business of the Senate runs smoothly. Bless their work. Give our senators a true sense of judgment and the wisdom to see beneath the surface of things. Bless their interactions with each other as they work for the good of all Alaskans. Keep them strong in their belief that together they can make Alaska an even better place for all its citizens to live and grow. May each one stand firm and tall like a mountain. May each one move purposefully throughout the world like the wind. May each one bloom and flourish as the wildflowers that bring such delight to all who look upon them. I ask this of you, God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Marie. Senator Kelly, would you lead us in the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Will the secretary please certify the journal?
I certify as to the correctness of the journals for the 23rd and 24th legislative days.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move and ask unanimous consent that the journal be approved as certified by the Senate Secretary.
Yeah, without objection, so ordered. Senator Olson.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the prayer be spread on the journal.
Without objection, so ordered. Introduction of guests. Senator Geisel.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a constituent and good friend in the Ziegler Gallery. I'll ask Mike Torianin to stand up. Mike lives in my district in the Sterling area, has a business. He is a civil engineer, and his business is in Soldotna. He's lived in Alaska since 1959 and has been a very active part of the community there on the Kenai Peninsula. So please join me in welcoming Mike Torianin.
Senator Coghill.
Mr. President, in the gallery right behind me, some guests that you have here, and it's my pleasure to introduce them. Right behind me is Ron Siebold. He works in international translation work for, I think, in the International Republic of the Philippines to raise literacy rates in rural communities. He's now a senior project manager for SIL's language software development program, really interesting, in Dallas, Texas. He's also a member of the Project Management Institute and holder of their project management professional credential. So that's pretty significant. Him and his wife, Joy, have been married for 28 years. And they have three sons, very proud of. Right next to us, one of them, now serves in the state of Alaska as educational staff for Senator, Mr. President here. So Andrew, right next to him, is a recent graduate of Texas A&M and has a bachelor degree in international studies and Russian. He studied abroad in Russia and the Ukraine. He's worked for two summers locally for Wings Airways and now works in your office. So would the Senate please welcome Mr. Rob and Andrew Siebold.
Yeah, thank you, Senator Dyson. A brief at ease. Senator Dyson.
Thank you, Mr. President. I want to introduce a couple of guests. In the gallery behind me is Kim and Savannah Minery. Please stand. And Savannah is a sophomore at Service and a hockey player, and whoever's territory I'm trespassing on, please forgive me, but give them both a warm welcome to the Senate.
Senator Machicki.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have with me today my chief of staff I wanted to introduce. His name is Mr. Larry Simmons. He retired as Soldotna City Manager this year after 30 years in local government. He was the finance director for the City of Kenai. He also currently chairs the Alaska Public Entities Insurance Pool. Is a member of the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants. And he was also the 2006 recipient of the Vic Fisher Local Government Leadership Award. Larry is an amazing man, and I'm very fortunate to have him here. And we've worked very well together in the past. I know we will in the future, but the reason for the intro today is Larry's son, Thomas Simmons, a helicopter pilot, member Alpha Company, 1st Battalion, 207th Aviation Regiment, and he was deployed last week again for a one-year tour in Kuwait. And Thomas's wife's name is Julie, and they have three children, Alyssa, Emma, and Brielle. So please welcome Larry and congratulate him on keeping Thomas in your thoughts as he serves this year.
Under introduction of guests, seeing none, messages from the governor.
A message dated February 6th stating, in accordance with Article 3, Section 26 of the Alaska Constitution and AS 1605221 and 3905080, I submit the following appointment for confirmation. Board of Fisheries, Reed Moritzky, Fairbanks. Appointed 2-6-2013, term expires 6-30-2014. Those are all the messages from the governor, Mr. President.
Refer to resources. Messages from the House.
I have no messages from the House this morning, Mr. President.
Communications.
The following reports are on file. 26th report, 2011 to 2012, to the Legislature and the Supreme Court from Larry Cohn, Executive Director, in accordance with Article 4, Section 9 of the Alaska Constitution. Schedule of compensation from the Alaska court system for Supreme Court Justices, Appellate Court Judges, and Administrative Director, calendar year 2012. From Christine Johnson, Administrative Director, in accordance with AS 2220037. Alaska Court System Fiscal Operations, Fines Collected, Fiscal Year 2012, from Christine Johnson, Administrative Director, in accordance with AS 1255035. 2011 Residency of Alaska Workers, Department of Labor and Workforce Development, Diane Bloomer, Commissioner, in accordance with AS 3610130. Fiscal Year 2013 Report by the Department of Administration, Division of Risk Management. Those are all the communications this morning, Mr. President.
Reports of standing committees.
The Senate Special Committee on Trans-Alaska Pipeline System Throughput considered Senate Bill No. 21, Oil and Gas Production Tax, and adopted a TTP Letter of Intent. Previous indeterminate fiscal notes. Signing no recommendation, Senator Co-Chair Dunleavy. Signing amend, Senator Machicki, Co-Chair. Also signing amend, Senators Gardner, Fairclough, McGuire. The bill has a further referral to the Resources Committee. The transport.
Briefly. Back to order. Madam Secretary.
Thank you. Pardon me, Mr. President. That was a special committee report I read, Understanding Committees. Understanding Committee reports, the Transportation Committee considered Senate Bill Number 31, naming Akiak Runway, New Zero Fiscal Note, signing due pass, Senator Egan, Chair, Senators Faircloth, Dyson, French, Bishop. The bill has no further referral. It is in the Rules Committee. The Finance Committee considered House Bill Number 80, Cruise Ship Wastewater Discharge Permits, previous zero fiscal note, signing due pass, Senator Kelly, co-chair, Senator Meyer, co-chair, signing no recommendation, Senators Dunleavy, Faircloth, Bishop, signing amend, Senator Olson. The bill has no further referral. It is in the Rules Committee. Those are all the Standing Committee reports this morning, Mr. President.
Introduction of Senate resolutions.
I have no Senate resolutions for introduction this morning, Mr. President.
Introduction of Senate bills.
Sponsor substitute for Senate Bill Number 36 by Senators Ellis, Willikowski, Dyson, entitled An Act Relating to Missing Vulnerable Adult Prompt Response and Notification Plans.
State Affairs and Judiciary.
Senate Bill Number 46 by Senator Egan, an act repealing a prohibition against classified state employees participating in the management of political parties above the precinct level.
State Affairs and Judiciary.
Senate Bill Number 47 by Senator Coghill, an act increasing the monthly stipend available for students attending a statewide boarding school operated by a school district and providing for an effective date.
Finance.
Those are all the Senate bills for introduction this morning, Mr. President.
Consideration of the daily calendar.
Senate Joint Resolution Number 2 by Senator Dyson, commending and supporting actions taken by the Office of the Governor, the Attorney General, and the Commissioner of Natural Resources to protect the state from federal government incursion into the care and management of state resources and to promote the economic prosperity of the state, and urging the United States Congress and the President of the United States to limit federal government overreach into management of state resources. The Judiciary Committee considered the bill and recommended it be replaced with a Judiciary Committee substitute. New Zero Fiscal Note, signing due pass, Senator Coghill, Chair, Senator Dyson, signing no recommendation, Senator Olson. There is a Judiciary Committee substitute.
Senator Coghill.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move and ask unanimous consent that the Judiciary Committee substitute be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
Without objection, so ordered.
CS for Senate Joint Resolution Number 2, Judiciary, commending and supporting actions taken by the Office of the Governor, the Attorney General, and the Commissioner of Natural Resources to protect the state from federal government incursion into the care and management of state resources and to promote the economic prosperity of the state, and urging the United States Congress and the President of the United States to limit federal government overreach into management of state resources.
Please, Mr. President.
Brief at ease. Held over to the next regular calendar.
Citations honoring Aaron Downing in memoriam, Arthur Lawrence Carlson in memoriam, Sarah Daria Matthew.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the citations on today's calendar be adopted.
Without objection, so ordered. A brief at ease. Senator Machicki.
Yes, Mr. President. I move and ask unanimous consent to roll back the calendar to introduction of guests.
Without objection, so ordered.
We have some visitors today from the AFS Intercultural Programs. They've been exchanging students throughout the world for 65 years, and we welcome students who've been awarded full merit-based scholarships awarded by the U.S. Department of State. These youth serve as ambassadors to build bridges of understanding between their countries and the U.S. As they learn about American cultures, students share their own customs and cultures, and when they return home, they draw upon their experiences to help increase intercultural awareness about the U.S. I'd like to introduce some students, and I've been handed the list of everyone here today, so I hope those members from the districts that I don't represent will appreciate that. From Kenai today, I'd like to introduce Yomna Mohammed from Egypt. She's 15 years old, and she wishes she could stay for another year. Yulia Sherstuk, she's from St. Petersburg, Russia, which is much larger than Kenai. She still likes Kenai and thinks it is not better, not worse, just different. Iman Nubas. Iman is from Jordan. Her favorite things about Alaska are the nature and the cookies. And in Juneau is Ilya Tomachev. Ilya is from Omsk, Russia. He is 17 years old. He's really enjoying his time in Alaska and learning to ski. He's also never swam in as cold of water as he did when he did the polar plunge. Sitka Frilly Utami. She's 15 years old and is from Indonesia. She loves living in Sitka and thinks that being an exchange student in Alaska is a wonderful and cool experience. Susie Kenclay is 15 years old from Cameroon in Central West Africa. She likes living in Sitka because it is a small city and much easier to move around. She also loves the nature. Yvonne Keller is 17 years old and from Germany. She really enjoys the nature and wildlife. One of her favorite highlights was seeing whales. It is not like the rest of America, but she really loves Alaska. And from Ketchikan, Mohab Faran is from Egypt. Mohab is 17 years old. He's really enjoying his year in Ketchikan and would like to stay. From Anchorage, Mahmoud Mahdi, 16 years old, from Lebanon. He's given many presentations to Alaskans of all ages and has even been on the radio. He thinks Alaska has been fun and awesome. And finally, from Eagle River, Savish Sanger. He's 17 years old and from Malaysia. He just arrived in Alaska 2 weeks ago and will be here for the semester. He loves the climate and temperature in Alaska, which is very different from tropical Malaysia. So please join me in welcoming these AFS students.
And the Senate is particularly proud to have you with us today. Unfinished business. Yes, Senator Wilikowski.
Senator Huggins, roll back, move and ask unanimous consent to roll back the calendar to introduction of guests.
Without objection, so ordered.
And just turned around and noticed that I have a constituent here. She's probably not happy that I'm introducing her, but she used to work in the other body for the minority leader, Representative Berkowitz, at the time. She's very active in many causes in my community. Please help me welcome to the body Amy Kaufman.
Senator Dyson.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. President. I move and ask unanimous consent that I be excused from a call of the Senate on 2:15, 7 p.m. plain time to 8 a.m. Plain time on the 18th for state and personal business.
Without objection, so ordered. Under unfinished business, Senator Olson.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that I be excused from the call of the Senate on February 11th, Monday, on state and personal business.
Without objection, so ordered. Senator Fairclough.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move and ask unanimous consent that I be excused from a call of the Senate on March 6th, evening plain time, to March 10th, evening plain time, for personal business.
Without objection, so ordered. Yes, Majority.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that Senator Huggins be excused from a call of the Senate on Friday, February 15th, p.m. plain time, to Sunday, February 17th, and afternoon's plain time on Friday, February 22nd, to p.m. plain time on Sunday, February 24th, with state and personal business.
Without objection, so ordered. Additional unfinished business, Senator French.
Thank you, Mr. President. Signing on to some legislation this morning, I move and ask unanimous consent that my name be added as a co-sponsor to SB 4, an act relating to military training credits.
Okay. Senator French will be shown as a sponsor.
I move and ask unanimous consent that my name be added as a co-sponsor to sponsor substitute for SB 36, dealing an act relating to missing and vulnerable adults response.
And to be shown as in sponsorship.
I move and ask unanimous consent that my name be added as a co-sponsor to SB 37, extending the Suicide Prevention Council.
Senator French's name will be added.
Same motion. Move and ask unanimous consent that my name be added as a co-sponsor to SB 38, extending the State Medical Board.
And same will be shown as a sponsor.
Just two more, Mr. President. I move and ask unanimous consent that my name be added as a co-sponsor to SB 11, an act relating to knives and switchblade.
And Senator French will be shown as a co-sponsor.
And finally, move and ask unanimous consent that my name be added to SB 16, dealing with an investigator for the Board of Architects, Engineers, and Surveyors.
And again, Senator French will be shown as a co-sponsor.
Now for an excusal motion, Mr. President. I move and ask unanimous consent that I be excused and not subject to a call of the Senate on Monday, February 11th, until morning plain time for state and for personal business.
Without objection, so ordered. Under unfinished business, any other unfinished business? Under unfinished business, I removed the Senate Resource Committee referral for Senate Bill 32, Chickamauga Lake Hydroelectric Site, and I refer Senate Bill 32, Chickamauga Lake Hydroelectric Site, to the Senate Finance Committee because it has picked up a physical note. In addition, making the following appointments to the Alaska Arctic Commission, Policy Commission, I'm appointing Senator McGuire, Senator Giesel, Senator Hoffman. Alternates will be Senator Olson and Senator Stevens. To the Statewide Suicide Prevention Council, I'm appointing Senator Fairclough and Senator Gardner. Moving on to announcements. Under announcements, seeing no announcements, special orders. Senator McGuire.
Thank you, Mr. President. Permission to speak on, I move and ask unanimous consent to be allowed to speak on the commemorative Senate district profiles.
Without objection, so ordered.
Thank you. And so members will notice in the supplemental journal, a part of every Friday's supplemental journal, there will be a highlight of all of the Senate districts. And this is to honor the member from District Kodiak has been leading us on a journey to reflect on the centennial year of the Alaska Legislature. We're honored to serve in that particular 100th year. And in recognition of that historic moment, we're going to be exploring the diversity of our great state by learning about each one of the Senate districts. So in the Rules Committee, we've asked each member to go through and prepare a little bit about their districts, and then under special orders to stand up and help the public understand more about their Senate districts, and then those of us here in the body. As you know, after the last census, we've just gone through redistricting, Mr. President, and so many of us are still getting to know each other's districts. And so this is a wonderful opportunity, and this will be part of the permanent record in honor of the 100th anniversary of the Alaska Legislature. So thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator McGuire. Senator Coghill.
Thank you, Mr. President. Move and ask unanimous consent to have the privilege of the floor to speak on A district.
Without objections, A district.
So with the previous speaker talking, District A starts the list. So I probably am getting to set the pace maybe a little bit. We'll see. Mine is probably a little longer and maybe could be more concise. But A district, obviously, we just went through redistricting, so I just had the luck of the draw to get the first one. Like all of the districts, probably around the population of about 36,000 people. So I have North Pole, Salcha, Moose Creek, Pleasant Valley, which is out by Chena Hot Springs, Farmers Loop, Steel Creek, pretty diverse area. It also has Eielson Air Force Base in it, Mr. President, which I was just out speaking to the commission that is seeking to do an EIS on it. So it contains really a combination of urban, rural areas, and Mr. President, I have on my thing that it ranges from 60 below to 90 above in the winter, summertime, 60 below in the winter. And I was just home the last week fixing a car because of a 55 below problem that blew one of my power steering hoses. So I can attest it's not unusual. 100 years ago, on the 4th of July, 1913, the first airplane flight in Alaska, best we could figure. We looked everywhere we could on the records, and sure enough, the first flight in Alaska took place. It was a barnstorming flight. Kind of interesting. If you read the Cole brothers, they have kind of an interesting history on it. Also, 1913 was the first legislator from Fairbanks. E.B. Collins served as the first Speaker of the House and successfully ushered in HB 2, Mr. President, which was the territorial legislature, extending the right to vote to women in the territory of Alaska. Very, very progressive in its outlook for individual liberty, so a tradition which we've maintained to date. District A has a diverse economy with a strong presence, and it's very costly fuel production. So I guess it would be strange, but it was a slip of the tongue. We have two refineries right there in North Pole, and they're hooked right to the pipeline. And I wish we could do it cheaper, but we're doing it well. And hats off to them. We have a strong retail and government presence, as well as a small agricultural community there, and I'll talk about that. So the two refineries, but we also have the gold mine just kind of north of the refineries, one of the larger gold mines in the area, Fort Knox. And to our credit, we really public safety, 11 fire stations that give emergency medical and fire protection on a volunteer basis. Hats off to those who study, get equipped, and serve us from volunteer level. So the eastern portion of the district contains an agricultural community. Peonies, believe it or not, are the emerging agricultural product. We're finding a place in our world for where the most unusual place that can grow peonies at that time of the year anywhere in the world. So it's turned into quite a little industry. About 325,000 visitors visit us. Certainly they stop at the Santa Claus house in North Pole, no doubt about it. But Chena Hot Springs is a resort just north of North Pole that attracts both winter and summertime visitors, and it's right in the middle of one of the mining districts of the interior, a historical mining district. So it also, even though I am a teetotaler, we have one of the breweries, one of the northernmost beer breweries in the interior in Alaska. So it's the Silver Gulch Brewing and Bottling Company. In fact, I think they just opened a store in the International Airport there in Anchorage. So we're reaching down to Anchorage to make our dollars. So it's always nice that. So we also have a place where we shoot rockets into the sky at Poker Flats. And the university and NORAD and our own NASA work together for not only satellite downlinks, but satellite experimentation out of the Poker Flats range. Really interesting. They've done a lot of research on the Northern Lights from the Poker Flats range. So it's probably one of the nicest playground areas, too. They sit right in the Chena River Lakes Recreation Area, which is probably more frequented by Alaskans from all over Alaska than any other park in Alaska. So it's been quite a playground. So right now, the University of Alaska is working on unmanned aerial flight, which is being directed somewhat out of this Poker Flats area. So it's pretty interesting. It's a wonderful district. So we have urban, rural, and even remote parts of that district, which I'm really glad to highlight. And just like anything else, we feel like we're a community amongst a larger community, which is Alaska. Feel very connected to Alaska all over. And it's a privilege to highlight Senate Seat A.
Senate District Alpha. Thank you, Senator Coghill. Senator Kelly.
I move and ask unanimous consent that I be given privilege of the floor to speak on Senate District B.
Yes, Senator, yes, without objection, so ordered.
Thank you. And when Senator from District B, or excuse me, from District A, talks about the urban areas of the state, actually what he's talking about, or of his district, actually what he's talking about is my district, Senate B, which is downtown Fairbanks. And if you come to visit Fairbanks, it's more than likely that you'll stay somewhere in Senate District B in one of the hotels. We have a population in that district similar to everyone here. It's going to have about 36,000 people. And it includes the core of downtown Fairbanks, but also part of the larger Fairbanks North Star borough. We have Fort Wainwright in that district. It is the home of the Arctic Warriors, and many people are deployed from Wainwright on a regular basis. Those deployments have a significant impact on us, and it's very noticeable what happens to the retail, attendance at church, those kinds of things, school districts, as people move not only to deploy, but sometimes families move back to their hometowns during deployments, and it impacts us. 100 years ago, we were almost all about mining, but we were transitioning out of the mining economy, and the railroad came to that area about that time we became more of a transportation hub. Mining, of course, is in the midst of a resurgence in that area, as it is in the rest of the state, and our economy since that time, since 100 years ago, has become more dependent on military bases, on the pipeline, which runs very close to the district, and of course we have much of the staging areas for work on the pipeline and maintenance and those kinds of efforts associated with the pipeline are headquartered in District B. The university is not specifically in District B, it's just right outside District B, but of course many of the people who live in District B work at the university, and our community, much of the interior, is impacted by the work of the university. The senator from District A described the Poker Flats. That's a kind of an exciting part of the research that goes on at the University of Alaska, but there's far more research that goes there, biological research, geophysical research. They research everything from the center of the planet to the center of the sun, and bring into the state from outside sources somewhere around $92 million per year. That, ladies and gentlemen, is diversification of your economy. We're known as the Golden Heart. It's a great recreation area. The Chena River flows right through town, and believe it or not, there's a salmon run there. Now, you people from the coast, you're pretty picky about your salmon, so I don't know. They've traveled a long way, but if you get them soon enough, they're okay, and people are beginning to sport fish in the Chena River, and that's kind of a new thing. I'd say it's over the last 10 years. You'll see boats in town out there catching salmon on pixies, and it's just not part of my background. We were always just fishing for grayling or pike, and now there's salmon there. And as I said, you coastal people, you might be a little more picky about your salmon than we are because of the distance they have to travel. The oldest operating steam locomotive in Alaska and the Yukon Territory, it's steam engine number one. Of course, there is it's a great viewing place for the Aurora Borealis, and we have people coming from all over the world to view the Northern Lights. And it's kind of odd to see when you go to the airport sometime and there's tourists in January. And as the previous speaker said, we can get down to 60 below. Although I got to tell you, I was very proud when I was about 12 years old. I had a paper out, and we learned that the record was going to be broken, and it was going to be 68 below. And so I told my mom and dad I really wanted to go out and on the day that we broke the record, do my paper out without assistance. This was before all the high tech snow gear. And it was just, you know, multiple pairs of corduroy pants, and my brother had a curling sweater. The thing was gorgeous. My mom washed it So it fit me, and I would wear this huge curling sweater, and it was, like I said, it was about 68 below. And the ice fog was so bad. How bad was it? I remember one time when I was working on the pipeline, I had to take a tractor trailer to from the pipe yard to North Star Terminals. And of course, during the pipeline, during the construction of the pipeline, a couple things were going on. One is there was an incredible increased activity. Light plants were going all the time. But also at the time, the water coming from the power plants were still somewhat heated. So the Chena River was mostly open from about Fort Wayne right down. So of course the ice fog, the water was just boiling steam almost. And it was incredible. I drove into this complex, I was very familiar. And the ice fog was so thick that people would just kind of appear out of the ice fog. I'm driving this tractor trailer, I can't find the building that I need to drop it off at. And they're right there. They're like 20 feet away and we couldn't see them. I guess that's somehow a benefit for my community. You ought to see it. It's kind of amazing if you haven't. And baseball, soccer, softball, a lot of communities from around the state like to go to the tournaments in Fairbanks and bring the kids up there to play in these big midnight sun tournaments because the weather is so fantastic in the summer. And, of course, Alaska is a beautiful place from stem to stern, but it's nice to come up where the weather is 75, 80 degrees and the sun shines all night long. The kids just love it. So I would welcome you all to come and visit sometime, bring your money, and stay as long as you want. Thank you, Mr. President.
Yes, Senate District Bravo. And with that, for the history, the Senate Secretary, please have the commemorative district profiles published in a Senate Journal supplement. Thank you. Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that we go back up the calendar to announcements.
Without objection, so ordered.
And my apologies. I shouldn't have let this guy by me. Today in the Senate Judiciary Committee from 1:30 to 3, we will be having the Children's Justice Task Force report, which I think is going to be a significant. So those of you who are interested in how justice for those most vulnerable in our world, what the report to Alaska is on this task force. They have been going through their reporting period and study period, and now this is going to be their outlay of their first report. So if you have time from 1:30, at least from 1:30 to 2:30, they will be there giving their report. So Judiciary Committee in the Belch Room in the Tom Stewart Building.
Thank you. And going back to special orders, are there any additional special orders? Seeing none, Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move and ask unanimous consent that the Senate stand in adjournment until Monday, 11 a.m., February 11th.
And the Senate will stand in adjournment till Monday, 11 a.m., the 10th of February.